Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007. A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grave, that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." While Abraham's visitors walked on farther toward Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?" The Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham spoke up again, "See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes? What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." But Abraham persisted, saying, "What if only 40 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, "Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there." Still Abraham went on, "Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? The Lord answered, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he persisted, "Please let not my Lord grow angry if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10 there?" He replied, "For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
The Lord is exalted, yet the lowly he sees, and the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk amid distress, you preserve me. Against the anger of my enemies, you raise your hand.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgression, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. And he said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot give up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today on your Sunday Reader. Father Mark and Brian. Don is not with us this week as we discuss the readings. But I believe, Father Mark, that you had some interesting experience, at least with the Our Father that you were talking about. Would you like to share that with everybody?
Sure. I remember when I would celebrate daily Mass at my previous parish at St. Mary's, that at the 9 o'clock Mass, there would be this mother there. She would be with her little boy, and I think he was about maybe 3 years old or 4 years old. And when it came time to say the pray the Our Father, it was just interesting to hear her little boy's little voice mixed in with all of our voices, you know, as we prayed this prayer together, the one that we hear, you know, in the gospel reading that Jesus teaches his disciples. And here we are, you know, over 2,000 years later, and we're still passing on that tradition of prayer, even to a little 3-year-old or 4-year-old, however old he is. But to hear his voice and to know at this point in time that, you know, that he's just learning this prayer. And, you know, for him, it's learning the words to the prayer, and he may not necessarily understand and probably doesn't understand, you know, what the prayer is all about, but that's okay, you know, because that's where he is at this point. But it's wonderful to see the prayer and the faith of his family and of our tradition being passed on to him, and to know that that he's going to grow in that faith and tradition that's been passed on to him, that, you know, he'll be learning the prayer now, but will deepen the sense of prayer as he grows up and becomes an adult. So I thought it was just kind of nice to, you know, to hear Jesus teaching his disciples and then to have this experience at daily Mass where, you know, a mother is teaching her young little boy how to pray too.
Yeah. I was going to say, to add on to that, you made the comment that, you know, when we first learn this prayer, a lot of times we don't really understand the words. It's something that we learn very young for many people. But I think that for our listeners here on your Sunday Reader, it's important that we do know the significance of the prayer. And one of the questions I get a lot on prayer is, you know, why does God answer some prayers and not others? And then in this gospel reading, it kind of adds to that because you sit here and you hear things like, you know, knock and the door will be opened to you, whatever you ask for, you will receive. And there's been many times in my own life I've asked for, you know, millions of dollars or other things, and I've not received them. And a lot of times people ask me these questions, why is it that some prayers are answered and others aren't? And I think one of the things that might be helpful for some of our listeners is to go back. There's a line in the Our Father that we say, talking about your will be done. And really what prayer is it's an attempt for us to, one, we do bring our own needs before the Lord, of course, but we're also trying to conform our own will to the will of God in prayer. And that's kind of the ultimate purpose of prayer. It's not to come with kind of a laundry list of chores that we'd like God to get done for us. And so one of the things that I think is important is that line in the Our Father, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done, that we pray all the time, because really what we're trying to do is to conform our own will to the will of God. And then ultimately we will see that our prayers, all of them, will be answered when we do that.
You were kind of reminding me of how, really, basically through prayer, we are to be oriented towards God, you know, especially, you know, the first thing that we pray in the Our Father is, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And it's really putting us, hopefully, outside of ourselves a bit, you know, even though prayer is a very internal experience, it puts us outside of ourselves to orient us toward the other, especially toward God. Over these past few weeks, you know, having to preach on these readings from Luke, it is wonderful to see how Luke speaks about the kingdom of God and how we as members of that kingdom and disciples of Christ are to be orienting ourselves to the other. You know, 2 weeks ago we had the Good Samaritan and how he oriented his life to the needs of the one who was placed before him, who needed his help. And last week we had Martha and Mary, and, you know, the lesson of, like, Mary being able to put our full attention to the one who is in front of us, especially the one who could bring that presence of God into our life. And here we are, you know, now Jesus teaching his own disciples how to pray, which is something a master or a rabbi would do. You know, that's why they say, you know, teach us like John taught his disciples. So he's teaching his disciples how to pray, reminding them that first prayer is always to remind us that we are to direct ourselves toward God and towards the fulfillment of what God wishes to be done.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. One of the other things that I like particularly about the Our Father is I think it gives us a good formula for our own prayer outside of rote prayer. When you look at the formula of the Our Father, it starts off by offering some sort of a salutation and praise to God. And then from there, we've got bells ringing in the background. I apologize. I'm still in Mexico for those who've been following for the past few weeks. So it starts off, though, it gives us this formula of, you know, we offer some kind of a praise to God. But then the second part right there is the part, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. But it's about, you know, the first thing we want to make clear is that what we're asking for is that God's will be done. And God's will comes before our will, which is the,
right.
Then we ask for our petition. So, you know, give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, many people interpret that as the Eucharist, but it's that also which gives us nourishment for the day. You know, so we're asking God, you know, give us what we need to get through our lives and ask for that forgiveness and the ability to forgive others, is how the prayer ends. But I think that's a good formula, even in your own personal prayer life. Follow, remember, you know, let's start off some kind of a praise, remind ourselves that ultimately what we're asking for is that God's will be done. We put our trust that God knows a little more than we do, what's better for us and what's better for creation than we do. But then also not denying the fact that we do have needs, and we ask God to provide us the nourishment that we need, the what it is we need to get through our day today, or, you know, whatever time period you're using your prayer for. And then, of course, we always ask for forgiveness for our wrongdoing, the ability to forgive others as well.
I think that, you know, putting the gospel reading together with the first reading, which is from Genesis, where it's Abraham conversing with God and wondering, you know, if just 40 people are left in Sodom, would you destroy it? You know, I wouldn't. If just 30 good people were left in Sodom, would you destroy it? No, I wouldn't destroy it. And he's very persistent in his prayer with God. And I think that there's a lesson for us in that there needs to be, I guess, a kind of persistence in our prayer too, especially when we pray for things that we feel are not being answered or, you know, we aren't receiving what we had hoped for in our prayer, that, you know, ultimately the transformation that occurs in prayer is not necessarily about transforming God, but it's about transforming us, and especially through our prayer that we are transformed. And yet the persistence of it is not so much, like I said, about convincing God, but maybe about learning in our own prayer life what it is that God is calling us to, especially as you're saying, you know, it's about the will of God. So maybe persistence in prayer is about us really deeply learning about what is the will of God in my life.
Yeah, and I think that that's very true. And the other thing is to even to persevere, even when we're not getting the responses that we want, we're not always going to get, you know, God will hear all of our prayers, but he doesn't always respond to them in the way that we want. And again, that's where you have to put that trust that God's wisdom is a little greater than ours. Garth Brooks has a great song for any country music fans out there. It's called Unanswered Prayers. And the chorus of the song talks about how some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. He was looking back on some things that he had prayed for in his past and how he's thankful that he didn't get what he asked for because of the way his life has worked out. Those things wouldn't have been right for him.
I know, if you think about that, you know, that if God just becomes the one who answers all of our prayers in the way that we want them answered, then where is the growth and the depth of our relationship with God in that way? You know, because I think that sometimes when we have to sit in those times of what feels like unanswered prayer or maybe feeling abandoned by God, it's then that we really have to search for what is the true meaning of all of this and what is the will of God in all of this, you know, because maybe it's not what I think should be the outcome of my prayer, you know, that it has to be, you know, it's uniting myself with the will of God in the deepest way that I can, maybe sometimes to the point of, okay, I don't like this outcome, but if this is what God truly wills, then obviously there's something in here. And I think ultimately all this should lead to, as it did for Christ, to new life. So what kind of, and that's part of my prayer too, that when there's something that I'm particularly praying for and, you know, the outcome or the result just seems to not come in the way that I want it to, my prayer is, you know, what new life are you calling forth in me, God, and how am I to embrace this new life? And I think that's a good prayer for all of us.
Yeah, and it's really true. I mean, it's pretty much the prayer of Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane. He's there, he's praying that this cup pass him by. So even Jesus, you know, had to submit his own will, because part of that prayer is, but not my will, your will be done. And that's one of the things we always have to remember in our prayers, that little, it's such a small phrase, but it's very powerful. It's not my will, your will be done. And so I think as we leave everybody this week, we hope that you'll somehow be able to incorporate these readings into your own prayer life, and also to remember that when things don't seem to be working out in your prayer life, that it is God's will that ultimately we're asking to be done and not our own will. Of course, our own will is that you will join us next week as we discuss the readings for the scriptures next week on your Sunday reading. Have a good week. God bless.